talking with Kirsten Huschka of A Country Farm Credit Services, a senior insurance specialist. And Kirsten, flat and simple, let's talk about Prevent Plant and define Prevent Plant for us.
Prevent Plant is has a long, fancy definition in the fine print of the policy, but in layman's terms, it just means it's too wet to plant. There is a condition where too dry to plant is also part of the official rules, but we've never used that side of it. So what we look at is as we get closer to the final plant date for each crop, we have to talk about the option to plant late with reduced coverage, or the flip side of that is to stop planting and figure out whether or not you would be eligible for a prevent plant payment.
And so when we talk more about prevent plant, Kirsten, we obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is corn. So
yes.
Have we been hearing a lot about those corn acres and should I plant beyond the date? What should I do?
It's interesting that there's a very common theme. I work out of the Valley City branch, mostly Barnes County. And the recurring theme is that people this year, they know that corn is the highest payment in terms of prevent plant. They have questions about will they be eligible for a prevent plant payment on corn, but we discover that they might not have many acres available to pay out as corn because they are planting more corn this year than they have in the last 4 years. And that highest number of insured acres from the last 4 years sets the base for how many acres can be paid for each crop. For example, if the highest amount of corn acres you'd planted and insured in the last 4 years, and that number includes PP acres, if your highest number was 1,000 acres and you intend to plant 1,200 acres this year, you have no available acres left over to pay out as PP corn. That's kind of the recurring theme. And in my area, not so many people are even asking questions about planting late. They're just kind of jumping right into the prevent plant scenario. The mood is that a planting late is less possible or unlikely.
And so what does happen if more PP acres are requested for a specific crop like corn? What's that scenario like there then?
So you have eligible acres for all insured crops on your policy. So if you were to request corn, and let's say that corn payment was supposed to be $300 an acre, the insurance company will look across your policy and find any crop that has available acres and try to, without going higher, pay out the closest amount to what the $300 an acre corn amount would have been.
You know, we talk about different types of units as well. There's enterprise units, there's optional
right.
units. How do we break that down when it comes to PP?
Well, when you're having the conversation with the person about their options and everything, you do want to kind of mentally confirm or, you know, look up what is the unit structure. And most of my customers have most crops at enterprise units, and with those conditions, the minimum size requirement can be met cumulatively across all of the fields of that crop in the county. So for corn, you could pool together all of the wet acres in all of your corn fields, and once you hit the 20-acre minimum mark, you're going to have enough acres to meet the minimum size requirement. If you have an optional unit structure, which generally speaking, optional units keep each section of land has its own coverage, separate insurance from all the rest of the sections in the county. With optional units, you need to hit that minimum size requirement on that section alone. The minimum size requirement for both enterprise and optional units is usually 20 acres, but sometimes it can be less than that if the unit is smaller than 100 acres. There's a separate calculation. So generally speaking, the minimum size requirement is 20 acres under the enterprise or optional unit structure, unless you had some smaller fields, and then it would be 20% of the field size.
And so bringing our conversation full circle here, Kirsten, what do farmers do to get the ball rolling on PP?
Yes, there's kind of a three-part series to that. Ideally, you would have had a little bit of prevent plant conversation prior to making your final March 15th policy decisions for the year, because there's things you can do with your policy to enhance PP coverage. So, you know, that's a piece of it that not everybody considers because they don't haven't used Prevent Plant before, or, you know, haven't used it lately or anything. But if that date obviously has passed, so the next thing that we want to do to keep the ball rolling is keep communication open. Like, as soon as you anticipate a problem with a field or something, we want to be visiting with you about that now. You know, we want to try to figure out if you can't plant these acres, is there only one option for the value of the payment, or is there something we can do to, you know, to maximize the value of the prevent plant payment? And so we want to be talking with you, you know, now as you're trying to decide whether to plant late or prevent plant. So that's important to communicate now. And then, you know, the other thing is we would need to hear from you as those final plant dates pass for each of the crops, because the companies have requested that the notice of loss for these crops be filed within 3 days, 72 hours after the final plant date has passed. There is an exception to that, is if you decide to plant during the final planting or after the final plant date. If you decide to plant after the final plant date, you would have 3 days, 72 hours after you quit planting to file that claim. Although we like to point out that the insurance companies don't flat out deny a claim if that 72-hour window is missed.